Africans at home and throughout the diaspora. Unity is strength. We've got the power.
Stop the fussing and the fighting. Now the time to do the right thing.
We need more unity. Come.
Stop the fussing and the fighting.
In the spirit of Umoja, embrace with love.
Let's do it right now. We've got to do it right. Stop the fussing and the
fighting. Now, right now.
Now it's time to do the right thing.
Yes, yes, this is Jamala Rogers, your host of Voices from the Battlefield, trying to get this extra person out of our screen read AI meeting. So I don't know how that popped up, but we're going to try to get rid of it. We don't need AI in this meeting. This is the place and the time where we connect the folks who are on the battlefield, and there are many, and they are fighting against patriarchy, they're fighting against racism, homophobia, Islamophobia. There are so many isms that we're fighting for, but we're also fighting for things. We are fighting for democracy. We're fighting for racial justice and equity. We're fighting for inclusion. We are fighting for human rights. And so there's lots to fight for. I also need to remind you that we still have a 34-count felon in the White House, a pathological liar. And now we're finding out that he's part of, we don't know how deep, but he's part of a pedophile ring. And so this just points to the moral bankruptcy of this government and the leaders who are leading this country right now. And it's frightening, it's sad. And I think about, for example, Trump's former Brazilian president, but he's one of Trump's buddies, Bolsonaro, who is about to start serving his 27-year sentence. And for what? For basically the same thing Trump did on January 6th. So the Brazilian people was not having none of that. And now he's exactly where he belongs. But look at us in the U.S. What the hell? What the hell? What the hell? So we got lots of work to do, and we always do, y'all, and we got to do it right. And we are mobilizing, we're organizing. And so my two guests today are on a battlefield that is it is rocking and rolling, y'all. And so we have we don't have a studio. That's still under renovation and repair. But we have with us today Jamie Johnson. And Jamie's a former Missouri State Rep. She's a policy wonk. She's bringing a lot of her skills and her current capacity as the statewide coalition director of People Not Politicians. We also, and this is her first time being on the show, so welcome, Jamie.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
And yes, absolutely. And we have Denise Lieberman, which is not her first time being on the show. She is a civil rights attorney who focuses largely on voter rights, and she is our go-to person when it comes to voter rights, and she heads up the Missouri Voter Protection Coalition. And we're going to hear all about her battles on the legal field, because she just got out of one yesterday. So we look forward to hearing about that. So, you know, this is entitled, you know, Theft of Democracy Through the Ballot Box. And, you know, I thought that was appropriate because when we look at what's happening with voting rights and how many different ways the MAGA folks and the Republicans have been trying to dismantle it. I mean, it's just like so many different ways. But here we have a illegal map that was passed during a special session, of course, at the behest of Trump, to see how many extra seats he could get. But when I tell people like the new map and what that fifth district now looks like, they know it's illegal. How could this be? And it's actually unfair to any elected official who's going to represent the constituents in that particular region. You got from Kansas City to Mid-Mo, almost to, I think it does include Columbia. So the needs of voters and residents in that area, that big swath of territory, are very different. And so there's no way that somebody, I'm talking about the best of elected officials, and you've been one, Jamie, so you know if trying to serve constituents that large is just, it's criminal. It's criminal. And so we're going to hear what happened to that map in a minute. But Jamie, if you would walk us through why there even had to be a coalition and a petition ballot and what that's all about.
Absolutely. And again, thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be here. It is feeling more and more like a battlefield every single day when, we are just attempting to allow the people of Missouri to have direct democracy in involving these maps. So basically what happened is sometime in September, our legislature got together for a special session and decided to redistrict. Our congressional district, redraw the congressional district maps. As a result of that, normally the process, let me give some context to that. The normal process is every 10 years we have a census count. Once that census count is finalized and those numbers are handed down to the states, then there is a panel of people who come together. Most recently in the 2020, after the 2020 census, there is a panel of people who come together. They travel all around the state. They have town halls. They listen to the voters. They listen to Missourians, and then they compile all that information and they redraw our congressional maps. In this instance, the governor is like, here's a map, go to special session, approve it. So the legislature gets together, debates the maps that the governor gave them, wherever they came from. We know where they came from, but wherever they came from, he hands them the map and says, approve it. They approve it with zero public input. There was not a public committee. There was not a committee that heard that looked at these maps, or there was very, very, very little public input. And so, as a result of that, we have this new congressional map that breaks up Congressional District 5, which is mostly Kansas City, into a map, like you said earlier, that stretches across mid-Missouri. So, as a result of that, People Not Politicians campaign filed a referendum on that legislative decision, that legislative act. And we, as a result of filing that referendum, from that date, we had 90 days to collect approximately 115,000 signatures, 117,000 signatures statewide, in order to put that map on the ballot, the redrawn map, to say whether we, as Missourians, want this congressional district map that was redrawn in the middle of a decade, as opposed to following the normal process that is laid out by our Constitution that says that we reapportion or redistrict after every 10 years, after every census. So that's where we are. We have about 14 days before that deadline. We are right now today, 14 days away from that 90-day deadline in order to collect those signatures. We have collected over 250,000 signatures across the state of Missouri. Not all of them, some people forget to put their state on the, or put their city on their address, or some people forget to write their name so we can read it. So not every single one of those 250,000 are valid signatures and will go towards this petition, but we've collected over 250,000. Our volunteers, our grassroots volunteers, have collected over 250,000 signatures statewide. So that's where we are.
So I just want to, let people know that when you take on a ballot initiative, when the people do, it is a humongous task, and it's not a cheap task either, because you do have to hire somebody to help, certify these, go through them, and sometimes even hire additional canvassers. But this has largely been volunteering. There's volunteers all across the state that has been doing this. And I think people are so revved up just based on what's happening. I mean, not just what's happening in Missouri, but in the nation. And you just feel compelled to do something. So I always feel the energy on those calls about like, what else can we do? And, you know, we need to do more. And we've been out there in rains, you know, not snow yet, but definitely rain and heat trying to collect that. Because literally, I think it was 3 months that we had to collect. And I love on the website, it's got a counter and you go, have we got it in? You're counting down. I'm like, oh,
yes.
Are we there yet? But you know, there's been some legal challenges. And I really want to ask Denise, because when that map was challenged, what was the basis that it was challenged? Was it only because it was done midterm and not at the general? Was it because it's in violation of the voting rights, which, as you could tell us, Denise, has been totally gutted? I mean, I don't even know what's left of it to use as some kind of platform for challenging. But tell us where we are with the legal challenges of that map.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the answer is all of the above. There's a lot of things wrong with what happened here. And there are quite a few lawsuits now underway. I mean, starting from the convening of the legislature in the first place, they weren't in session. And our Constitution says that there's only some very extraordinary reasons that the governor can call legislators back to Jefferson City when they're not in session. And one of the lawsuits filed by the NAACP argues this didn't meet that, and so anything that happened in the session should be thrown out. A second lawsuit, one that I am involved in litigating, challenges doing this in the middle of the decade. And Jamie spoke to this a little bit. There's a reason that we redraw the maps every 10 years, and that's because we have new census data that helps us understand where the population has shifted so that we can draw the lines to ensure that everybody has fair representation. That's the purpose of doing it every 10 years, is to protect one person, one vote. There was no new census data. And in fact, the last time legislators got census data was after the 2020 census, and they drew a new map. And in fact, they rejected the very map that was forced down their throats during this special session at that time. And so we had a trial on that question a few weeks ago in Cole County. But there are other challenges as well. There are straight up challenges to the district lines. As you mentioned, this new map slices Kansas City into three pieces and includes some of those residents along with farmers who live on the Illinois and Iowa border. Our Constitution guarantees that maps need to be drawn in a way that keeps communities intact. This one splits up an intact community of Kansas City. It's supposed to be as continuous as possible. This one puts people who live in urban areas in Western Missouri with people who live in rural areas in Eastern Missouri. Right? So that's problematic. And that had a hearing this week as well. But there are also lawsuits that have been filed against the state responding to the shenanigans and falsehoods and disinformation that we've seen from these state officials. And so let me just say at the outset here that Missouri's Constitution is very, very clear. The language says the people reserve the right to propose new laws through the initiative petition process or repeal any legislative action through the referendum process. Missouri voters, thousands of whom showed up at the Missouri Capitol in protest when this was announced. We marched. I think you were there, Jamala. Jamie, we marched through through the halls of the legislature peacefully, but you could feel the weight of our presence, right? The people reserve the right. That is guaranteed by our Constitution and laid out very, very clearly. So the state of Missouri has done a few things. First, they have argued, and this was a court hearing yesterday, they filed a suit in federal court saying, oh, the people don't have the right to do this, despite the fact that it says so in our Constitution, because this has to do with redistricting. They have the right to repeal any other legislative law, but not this law, even though that's not stated anywhere in the Constitution. They also filed a lawsuit arguing that the campaign itself is, and this is based so truly on complete falsehoods, are using out of state in funds and hiring illegal aliens, even though, of course, all employees go through the same federal verification processes with every other job. And here's the real kicker on a couple of these. Lawmakers passed these maps in early September on September 12th, and the Constitution makes clear that the act of the legislature is the trigger for the referendum process to repeal it. So the campaign was consecrated that very day and began collecting signatures. The governor waited an additional 2 weeks before signing that bill into law. And then our Secretary of State waited a full month before acknowledging and certifying the referendum. And then came out and said falsely that anyone who signed the petition prior to that, not only does their signature not count towards the required amount, but they may have been committing an election offense, voter fraud, in doing so. So the campaign, instead of focusing on collecting signatures in this very, very short amount of time, had to file another lawsuit to require that the state count all of those valid signatures that were collected in that first month, nearly 100,000 of them. And while we're right on the law, the state has put delay after delay after delay. That case was supposed to go to trial 3 weeks ago. Everybody was ready. The Republican Party intervened. They put in delays. They asked for a new judge, then the state asked for a new judge. And that trial is no longer on the table and won't be completed before the due date for turning in these signatures. And so now the campaign is forced to double down to make sure that even without everybody who signed in that first month, they have enough signatures to do so. But the thing is, Missourians know what's wrong with these maps, and that's why they are signing this petition in droves, and that's why they are standing up to fight against this overreach and power grab by Missouri lawmakers that's designed to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to silence the voices of Missourians, while also eliminating one of our two African American members of Congress from the ballot. Someone who is a former chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, an 11-term incumbent whose constituents keep electing them, right? A former
And
mayor
who
of
was a
Kansas
former mayor.
City,
So
right?
people know him, right?
Someone who helped bring the city of Kansas City together as an intact community. So it's quite shocking, but even more so, and this shows how fearful those who want to rig the system for their own political gain are of true democracy, is now there is a disinformation campaign out there telling voters that if they've signed the petition, they might be guilty of a crime and call this number to retract your signature and trying to trick volunteer petition gatherers in, to engage in activities that are not legal, trying to offer bribe petition gatherers with money. And I'm talking $20,000 and $30,000 to stop collecting signatures in order to thwart this. This is how terrified they are of Missouri voters simply being able to have a say. That's all we're talking about here, right?
So
Is you're
couple
signing
of
this
things,
petition
Janet.
to ask that the voters be able to vote. And that is
How
something that our
dangerous is that?
Constitution protects.
So you make me think about two things. One of them is the lengths that these folks will go through to disrupt, destroy. And I remember during the ballot initiative that was going to lower the ceiling for interest rates on predatory loans. And in the final weeks of that signature gathering phase, these SOBs literally stole petitions out of people's cars. And so it completely derailed the campaign. It just we just didn't have enough time to recoup. So these people are thugs. I can't say it any other way. They're thugs, or they send thugs out. But the bottom line is they want to stop any democratic process that's going on. So my question is, given the extraordinary times that we're in where laws don't seem to matter, what does it mean for you to go into court using laws on the books when they are totally disregarding them? I mean, it's just an abuse of power. So where does that leave folks who are trying to follow the rules, trying to use the tools that they have at their disposal, when all the way to the top, the damn president is saying, "I don't care what the Constitution is, I don't care what the judges say, I'm doing this." What does that mean for this ballot initiative?
I'll jump in real quick and then turn it to Jamie. Your question just makes me think of when Michelle Obama said, "When they go low, we go high." And the truth is that the constitutional protections that ensure our ability to vote and make our voices heard are the last guardrails we have in a lawless world and people that are. So we have to protect the constitutional foundation of our ability to be able to have a say through fair maps, our ability to have a say by proposing laws, and our ability to have a say by repealing laws that the people don't want. Because that is, if we lose those, we have very little ability to take our voices back. I mean, and we know that the riot is the voice of the unheard, right? I believe it was Bayard Rustin that said that. And we know that we have to protect. If we take away the guardrails, it doesn't mean that we stop caring and we stop believing in the power of our voices. We will have to resort to other ways to get our voices back. And so that's why protecting these constitutional principles in court is so very important.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. It is difficult for me. Okay, I am a student of psychology. It is difficult for me. I literally have a master's degree in organizational development psychology. It is difficult for me to wrap my head around the lack of scruples, the lack of ethics, the lack of morals. Honestly, this is a moral dilemma. This has gone beyond outside of a political fight. This has gone outside of a fight for democracy. This is now a moral dilemma. There are people who are willing to lie, cheat, bribe, steal in order to stop an act of direct democracy. I'm going to say that again because this is an act. One person, one vote is an act of direct democracy. We have a representational de democracy, a representative democracy, yes, where we elect people to send them to speak for us. But the purest form of democracy is me as an individual in the state of Missouri going to cast my ballot at a polling place. That is the purest form of direct democracy. And so it is hard for me to understand it. I'm always, as a student of psychology, I am always trying to understand, like, what is the angle that you are coming from? How do you justify this in your mind? It has been really, really difficult for me to understand the tactics that are being taken against this campaign, which is an effort in direct democracy. What that means for the campaign is, again, like Denise said, we can't, it's not a matter of not breaking the rules because they're breaking the rules, or the rules go out the window. That's the only recourse we have. The legal system is the only recourse we have. And while the law may be on our side, we're not always sure. I mean, hey, as a Black woman in America, as a Black person in America, the law is regularly on our side, but the legal system may not be. So we have to, what we always have is the agency to do more, right? What we always have, what we've always had, is the agency to come together as a people, regardless of your political affiliations, regardless of your religious background, regardless of your sexual orientation, regardless of who you marry, regardless of, we can come together as a coalition of people. And that's one of the reasons that People Not Politicians is a nonpartisan campaign. We're kind of like the church. If you align with what we believe, come on in, you're on our team. If you believe gerrymandered maps are wrong, come on in, you're on our team. We don't care what gang colors you have. We don't care what political affiliation you have. If you believe people deserve proper representation, if you believe that the map should be fair, if you believe we should not be at moving at the behest of a wannabe dictator, then you are on our team. We don't care what you came, come as you are. That's what we got. So,
The
but
more the
in terms of
merrier.
the more the merrier, because at the end of the day, we've trained over 1,100 people across the state and more coming every day, even with 2 weeks left. We have a training on the 29th. Our final turn-in is on the 3rd. So, we've got to prepare things to be able to bring them up to Jeff City. So we are still doing trainings for people, even to this with such short time frame left. People are coming and saying, I got that text message and I don't like the way that sounds and I need more information. I want to have more information. This doesn't sound right. Because of who it came from. It says right at the bottom, paid for by the Republican National Convention. What do you do with that? But at the end of the day, for the campaign, the legal system is the only recourse we have against the people that are in power right now, other than the fact that we can come together as a grassroots coalition of people from multiple places, from multiple ideas, from multiple ideologies, from multiple backgrounds, and say, we want to work together to talk to our neighbors, to talk to our friends, to talk to our college students and say, this is what's going on. Help me change it. We always have that power.
And
That's
that's
the
what
only
I think.
time we've
Oh,
ever,
sorry.
that's the only thing that's honestly ever worked, is the grassroots power of people coming together of different backgrounds to say, enough is enough. We're done with this. We don't like what you're doing, and we're going to make a change.
Well, and I was going to say that's what's so powerful about this campaign, right? Is people are coming to this campaign in droves because they feel just the weight of the oppression and the weight of the indignities that these lawmakers are suggesting that people don't know what they want, that people don't know their own lived experience or voices. And that's why protecting the initiative petition and referendum process is so critical, because it is the public way that people can reclaim the voice for themselves, right? I mean, the only ones who are going to save us is us. But the way we do that is through the initiative petition and referendum process.
And you
And
know
so I
what,
think it's
Denise, I
giving
want you to say a
people
little bit more about that
some
because I've been
power.
on a a webinar that talked about preemption. And one of the things I shared with it was a national audience is that our legislature, in one fell swoop, got rid of the right for women to choose, abortion rights. They got rid of earned paid sick leave. They got rid of increased minimum wage. They got rid of local control by the people of St. Louis for over their police department. So all of those came into being because of the very process that you just talked about. So and by not by squeaking by, it's like 60% margins where people say, yes, we think earned paid sick leave is like a plus, lift some of us out of poverty. But yet here are people who are supposed to be representing the state who said, nah, we don't think so. So to your point about the ballot initiative, it is a powerful tool that is now under scrutiny and attack its very self. And so what do people need to be thinking about when they look at how democracy is being, I mean, I can't say any other way, but being attacked and demolished from the highest people in the highest level. But then when you see what's happening here, people are starting to feel a little bit powerless and a little bit, disillusioned. So I think for us who understand the power of the people, what messages can we give to people about how to fight in this particular moment?
I mean, do you see these petitions? People are fighting back. Over 200,000 people have already signed this petition to put these maps to the voters. And when we get this thing certified, and when the voters of Missouri go to the polls and defeat this, I think that is a really powerful message that we that those that language that's in our Constitution, that the people reserve the power, can actually be met when we stand together.
Okay, so remember the people said that about the four things that I just mentioned. And so when that doesn't happen, what are we telling people that they still should be doing? Because it's like we did that and now they didn't enact it. Like what now? What do we do now? And so
That's
I
right.
think that's the place where people kind of get stuck.
Well, one, we can use it because we are using it to repeal these maps. But two, this is why we have to so preciously guard this constitutional right. We're going to see more attacks on the citizen initiative process. Pre-filing for the 2026 legislative session starts this coming Monday already. And we know that there are going to be more attacks on the citizen initiative process. And dime for a dollar, we're going to see a proposal to gut the referendum process now too, because citizens are using it. We already have lobby day scheduled for February 3rd, 2026, that is going to focus on this very issue and focus on stopping those bills from making their way through and pushing forward for further protections, because things have gotten so extreme that even Republicans, even members of the majority in the Missouri legislature are starting to feel uncomfortable about this, right? I mean, the Speaker of the House of Representatives voted no on these maps because of this process. And so we have to continue to make our voices heard. We have to continue to rally the people, because things are only going to change because the people step up and demand it,
What
right?
I would say to those people is they wouldn't be working so hard to take away your rights if they didn't understand how much power you have. What politicians are trying to do is shift the balance of power from the people to them. So basically, just like we the origin story is of America is leaving England and the king and all of the things. They're sh trying to shift the balance of power from the electorate, from the people who are involved, from the people who are informed, from the people who know what they want, to this paternalistic idealism of guardianship of them. They're basically saying to Missourians, everyday hardworking Missourians, you don't know what you want. You're not smart enough to know what you want. Literally, what does she call us, Denise? An uninformed, I can't even say it, plebiscite. Plebs, first of all, if you're going to talk about somebody being uninformed, please use that word correctly. And a plebiscite is a vote of the electorate, not the electorate. So if you're going to call us uninformed, make sure you use your words correctly, or else you sound
One of the lawyers actually said that in court yesterday
Right. Let's
in
start
describing
there.
us.
Reading is fundamental. Reading comprehension is very important. So, I mean, I didn't know what that word was before I looked at it, but then when I used it, read the definition, I understood that she used it wrong. So, or the lawyer, whoever said it, used it incorrectly. So, understand they are literally telling the state of Missouri, the individuals who make up the state of Missouri, that they are not smart enough to understand what they are voting for. And if that's the case, how did you get in office? Who voted for you? Were they uninformed about who you were and what you were going to do because you lied to them? So my what I would say to individuals who are questioning, well, we did vote that in and now it's not. Those you have the power to do this. They are trying to take that power away from you and do what they want to do. So what I would say was do a little bit more research on who you're voting for. You've done the research on what you're voting for. You know what your values are. You know where your values align with the things that you voted for, with access to health care, with making sure people have health insurance, Medicaid expansion, with making sure that folks have the opportunity to organize and unionize, with right to work, or the right to work petition that was out. You've made your voices clear, and they have decided that you don't know what you're talking about. So now it's time to look at the people who represent us versus the policies that we're advocating for, because those two things are in misalignment, and we need to correct that.
So I want you all to tell me what you think about this. I also think that they have noted the growing power of the Missouri electorate. I mean, I've been a part of MOVE, and so looking at the ballot initiatives over the last 10, 15 years, it really has been about educating voters across urban, across rural, across race, across gender, and you're starting to see that when people show up at the ballot box. That's how we put down right to work. That's how we, I mean, all of these things that have been voted in by the people represent the broadest spectrum of the Missouri voters. So I'm looking at this and thinking those people must be getting scared because the people that they have been trying to pit against one another for so many years are now saying, oh yeah, we got some things in common. Yeah, I'd like to have some of that paid sick leave too. That's not just a white worker saying that. That's also a black farmer. That's not just a single mom. That's somebody who's like underpaid that works at McDonald's. So people are starting to see that they have more in common than they do not, and have let these people pit us. So I'm thinking that that's one of the things that they're responding to, that they got to break this down, they got to do whatever it needs. And so one of the things I started thinking about, and I'm going to try to lean in because this is a strategy I think I might try to propose, that if that map stays, and we stuck with that map that has a district all the way to Columbia, what if the voters still vote for Emanuel Cleaver?
So
Wouldn't that be a slap in the face?
we don't want that map, but hypothetically, yeah, I think it is high time for us to drop the labels and move towards understanding the needs of the community, and that those needs are not so far apart. All of us want a stable housing, right? That we can afford, that we're not paying half of our income to a landlord or to a mortgage company because interest rates are insanely high. All of us want to be able to feed our families. We just went through this government shutdown where they actually used SNAP benefits over and held SNAP benefits over people's heads to say, you're not going to get what you want because I'm not getting what I want. Like at the end of the day, The best thing that could come out of all of this chaos that is going on right now is that people start to realize, oh, those people aren't so different than me. I'm on SNAP too. What happens to me when the government is shut down and people are using
And
me,
Jamie,
my
they
eating,
met
my
each other in
ability to
line.
eat?
Yeah, they met each other in the pantry line. You
Right.
know,
They met
that,
each other
oh.
in the pantry line, and they're like, wait a minute, we are not so different from each other. The best thing that could come out of all of this chaos is people starting to realize they are not so different than other people. They are not so, you are only a paycheck or two away from being on SNAP yourself. Before, after the elections of 2024, I lost my election. I was unemployed for 9 months. 9 months before I got offered to work on this campaign. I don't have no savings because I had to pay my house note and had to pay the things to keep my house going for 9 months. So I am cl much, 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 much closer to a SNAP recipient than I am to Donald Trump money. Or billionaire money or tech bro money or whatever, whoever it is that is the aspiration. I'm not there. And
Not
I
even
don't
close.
know in this lifetime I can get there. But at the end of the day, I still want my children to get a good education so that they can have a foundation to launch from when they go out into the world. I still want to live in a house that has heat, that has food in the refrigerator. Like, we are not so far apart. And I think people are waking up to realize, but I also think there's a lot of people who just don't have the capacity to pay attention to what's going on. I'm trying to feed my family. I'm trying to pay these bills. I'm trying to make sure, this crack I see in my foundation doesn't turn into a $20,000 house repair. I'm trying to make sure this tree that looks dead outside of my house doesn't fall on my house and hurt somebody or hurt my family. I don't have the capacity to pay attention to, and that's dramatic. I'd like my life to be peaceful. I don't want to know what's going on over there. But I think it's time for us to start having those conversations, those grassroots over lunch, over coffee, over Thanksgiving dinner conversations where we are like, look, we are not that different. We're in the same family and we're not that different. And this is hurting all of us. So at the end of the day, I think the best thing that could come out of all of this chaos is that all of us feel a little bit more pain and then turn towards each other to find solace together
And solidarity.
and solidarity and realize that we are not as far apart as people are trying to drive us.
Denise, you want to add to
I mean, that was perfect. Right. I mean, that's
that?
exactly what this is about, right? Is people coming together. And the thing that I want to congratulate this campaign and Jamie's leadership with this coalition, because I think it has been a place where people are finally feeling like they can be heard and they can come together and get something done and reclaim their voices, reclaim their power through this process. And when we realize that the power truly does rest with us, then we can keep using it. Like Jamie said, if we weren't so powerful, they wouldn't be going to all these lengths to try and stop us.
Well, in the time that we have left, I have a question for you, Jamie, and one for Denise. But also want you to give people some assignments because people are used to that. They know I'm a community organizer, I'm a strategist, so you're just not going to be a spectator. So think about some things that people could actually do. But for you, Denise, are there any victories that we've had in the courts based on you're being in there? And I know there's several different fronts going on and several different lawsuits, but what's the status of all of that right now?
Well, that's a good question. On when it comes to these cases about the rigged maps, we don't have any decisions yet. Our case arguing that it's unconstitutional to do it mid-decade. That trial has already happened. We're waiting a decision, but that's going to get appealed up to the Missouri Supreme Court. But we have had some court victories. So just last week, I was at the Missouri Supreme Court where we were arguing to ensure that groups can go out and do voter registration without violating criminal laws. And that was a case we won handily at trial, right? Where the court said that registering people to vote and engaging in conversations about civic engagement is protected free speech. And you can't set up criminal penalties or require or bar people from being paid to do that or require that they be Missouri registered voters or over the age of 18 to do that. And so we defended that in the Missouri Supreme Court last week, and I'm feeling hopeful that that victory will remain and that all of us will be able to continue to engage in civic engagement. We've had nearly 20 years of court decisions that have held that limiting the forms of ID to only the kind that you have to get at the DMV with a certified birth certificate and court records and papers is unconstitutional. We defended that at the Missouri Supreme Court last week. And all of these things are this is like death by a thousand cuts. Like they're trying to get us at all sides. Trying to limit who can register people to vote, who can register to vote, what kind of ID do you have to vote, what your ability is to suggest new ideas and new laws or to veto laws that you disagree with. All of these are part of the same constitutional core fundamental rights that that protect our democracy and to protect the ability of each and every one of us to be able to speak our truths and to have a say in our own futures and our own destinies. And that's really what we're talking about here when we talk about people coming together. The right to vote is not about who you vote for, though I'm sure we each have opinions about that and we should have opinions about that. But it is the right that should be bestowed to each and every one of us. Each and every person deserves a say in their own future and a say in their own destiny. I'm reminded of something that Martin Luther King said in his Give Us the Ballot speech in 1957, where he said, "If I do not fundamentally and irrevocably possess the right to vote, I do not possess myself. I cannot live by the edicts that I helped enact. I can only be subjected to the edicts of others." What we are talking about here is the ability to be free. If you do not have a voice in your own destiny, in your own future, if you do not have the ability to hold leaders accountable for the laws that they are enacting,
On your behalf.
with my dollars, by the way, we're paying for that. And by the way, all of us are paying for these lawsuits that they're filing against us too. That's coming out of our tax dollars. Then we're not free. And I think that is such a unifying force that is the core truth of the American experience, is that that's something we are all striving for, is the ability to be able to control our own futures.
And
And
that
actually make
reminds
the difference.
me of an Aristotle quote. You quoted Martin Luther King. That reminds me of an Aristotle quote that I put on my Facebook page last week. If liberty and equality, as is thought by some, are chiefly to be found in democracy, then they will be best attained when all persons alike share in government to the utmost. And that means everybody has to participate. Your vote counts. Your vote counts, especially in states where you are the quote unquote minority. Your vote counts. And if it did not count, people would not be willing to lie, cheat, steal, bribe, even historically murder to stop you. So,
So, Jamie, we're
yes.
about to come up on one of the parts of the campaign that I appreciate and enjoy the most, and that's engaging people in the education part going into the poll, going into the ballot. So here's what's going to be on the ballot, folks, and here's why it's on the ballot. What does that look like for the campaign right now?
Well, first, I want to put a plug in for our last weekend push. We are coming up on 14 days before we have to turn in these signatures. There is some prep involved in getting the signatures prepared to turn in. So this weekend is our final push to gather signatures statewide. Find us on peoplenotpoliticiansmo.org and find a event near you, whether you just want to sign, you haven't signed yet and you want to sign, or you want to volunteer to gather signatures, please, please, please look at that website. There is an events tab that will show you everything in the state of Missouri, every event that we're hosting in the state of Missouri to gather signatures this weekend, this Black Friday.
And Jamie, we even have drive-through, so people don't
even
have
drive-through. You don't even have to get out of your car. You can roll up, sign, and keep it moving on to the next thing. Got it done. So you can find a drive-through event. You can find a signature gathering event. You can show up at any of our campaign events and sign the petition. But once we qualify this thing, there is so much more work to be done in terms of voter education, voter engagement, talking to folks, make sure they understand what these maps look like. I don't think we've seen anything in terms of misinformation. We have not seen anything yet. Once we qualify this thing, they're actually already lying in terms of misinformation about what's going to be on the ballot. As we know it right now, of course, things could change, but as we know it right now, when this is qualified, it will be on the November 2026 ballot. Again, that could change. However, what you will be voting on, depending on the wording, we don't know if it's going to be a yes or a no. So depending on the wording, what you will be voting on is whether or not we retain these new maps that were drawn in this special session in the middle of a decade without new census information. That's the core. Now, how it will be worded, I don't know. But that will be the question. Do we want to retain, or do we want to, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know how it's going to be worded, but there will be a lot of effort to educate voters. We're likely going to be canvassing, door knocking. We will need your help. We will need your assistance. So please find us, connect with us. We're on all the social medias as People Not Politicians, MO. We're on all the social medias. We have a website. We have a mobilized page. Please find us and make an effort to assist us with voter education, with signature collection, with moving forward in this campaign.
And I just want to let people know that we're talking to two distinct organizations, but whose paths are intertwined, you know, from time to time. But Missouri Protection, Missouri Voter Protection Coalition is in place all the time, which I really like, because it's like, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And so how can people get involved with you, Denise, and what should they be looking for in terms of any of these legal outcomes?
Yeah, so we are the Missouri Voter Protection Coalition is a proud organizational member of People Not Politicians campaign. So that's a campaign, right? And so the difference between the two is this is People Not Politicians Missouri is a specific campaign to repeal these rigged congressional maps that has a deadline for signature collection on December 11th and will be on the ballot next year in 2026. Missouri Voter Protection Coalition is an evergreen organization year round, 365. Right, where we are here to ensure that the right to vote is free, fair, and accessible to all Missourians. And the campaigns come and go, although this is incredibly, incredibly important, elections come and go. The power of having a permanent organization that brings expertise on the right to vote and brings the credibility of having built relationships over the years, we're coming up on 20 years, it's hard to believe, Jamala, it is is really powerful and allows us to effectively activate people when campaigns happen. So, for example, this summer, when the governor announced that there would be or there was likely to be an extraordinary session to rig these congressional maps, right? We were able to pull together because we already meet every single week and pull people together right away and say, we're going to Jeff City next week. And 5,000 people came to Jeff City next week, right? And it was due, not just to us, but to all of the other coalitional partners that are there who are engaged. And by keeping people engaged, building relationships amongst the organizations that all care about democracy, all across the state, it allows us to build that power and build that foundation and build a foundation of people who are already leaders and ready to step up and step in when these moments call us to. And I think that's the power of our collaboration and our collective activism together.
Absolutely. And I would say the beauty of it too, because being on those different calls, you see people that you don't really know, and you hear about what they're doing, and they say, oh, they're doing that. Maybe we could do that here. There's just a really organic exchange between folks who are doing the work, who are actually in on the battlefield doing the work. So I appreciate both
I
of what
have
you all are doing.
a great
Go
story for
ahead.
that. Actually, someone that showed up to do to go door to door to get signatures showed up and ended up getting paired with someone that they didn't know. And they both called me because they said, I recognize that person from the Missouri Voter Protection Coalition weekly calls, and I knew who they were. And like we became fast friends and they got paired together and went off and started collecting signatures together. So
Beautiful.
it's the power of those relationships. We know that the movement moves at the speed of trust.
Yep. So thank you, Jamie Johnson, who is the leading the charge for People Not Politicians. And Denise, don't get it twisted, her youthful look. She's been doing this for years. And we're gonna keep on supporting that. So this is Jamala Rogers, your host of Voices from the Battlefield, and I hope to see you on the battlefield. If you want to see this show or any others, just go to jamalarogers.com.